This morning's scripture comes from Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
What on earth are we here for? I imagine you've asked that question a few times in your life. You've asked it about your life personally. Is there something, Lord, that you wanted me to do in particular? Something that was my special purpose in this world? You've thought about that too as Christians and as a church. What is it that we are to be about? If somebody were to ask you, what is it that Christians are doing in this world? What is it that the church is doing in this world? How would you answer that question? What would you say to sum it up? You know, we're always trying to sum up things in the Christian faith. We have this great big Bible that goes from Genesis to Revelation. It has the story of how God in his covenant with his people has always been involved in our lives, how that came to a pinnacle in Jesus Christ when he came and taught and lived and died on that cross and was resurrected from the dead. And then from that point on, you've got more. You've got Jesus followers going out, and you've got a church being formed, a church that's been going, by the way, for around 2,000 years. And here we are in 2017, here on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, worshiping God because whatever took place with Jesus and his disciples after he was resurrected from the dead, whatever took place with God joining them with his Holy Spirit, has brought us to a point where we are here right now trying to give expression to what we're here for, to what's important, what our purpose is. We're starting a sermon series today, and it's going to look at our five purposes primarily. You know, Christians are always trying to sum things up. You know, you had just a few minutes ago the affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. Some people say, why have creeds? Why don't you just go by the Bible? Well, the Bible's a big thing, you know? And somewhere along the way, we try to say, well, what's the essence of that? So we say, well, you know, I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Jesus Christ is only Son of our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And so we sum it up. Sometimes it's important for us to sum up what our reasons are for being. What are our purposes? And we're going to be telling you over and over in a lot of different ways that there's basically five of those. The first is to get to know and love God. Get to know and love God. Now, one of the things we're attaching to that is this blue word up there that's called worship. We're going to tell you that we need to grow in the ways that we love one another. That's another one of the purposes. All of these need to be balanced with each other. It's not either or, it's all of them, and they all need to get basically equal commitment and attention from us. And then you have another while we are here on this earth, before we get to eternity, because this is preparation for eternity. One of the things that we are here for is to grow to become as much like Jesus Christ as possible. Jesus was one that was fully alive, and when we are like Jesus, then we are fully alive too, in the way that God purposed us and intended for us to live. And then you have these gifts and abilities and talents that God has given us. One of our purposes is to take all of those things that God has given us and use them to serve. Not to be served, but to use them to serve. God gave me my talents for you. And God gave you your talents for me and the rest of us. It's not just for us, but God has put us here so that we can bring what God has given us and to bless one another and together to become a blessing in this world. Serve. That's connected with ministry. Being like Jesus is the discipleship. And then finally, a mission that we can never forget is the mission of Jesus sending us out in this world to say, hey, God has done something here. God has been with us. God was here in Jesus Christ. And do you know what he did? Do you know how much he loved you? Do you know how much God loved you through Jesus Christ and what he did for you and your life right now so that it could have meaning and purpose, but also what he did for eternity? Because God made us as eternal beings. What happens right now is going to determine what eternity is like for us. For instance, can you imagine being in heaven and not wanting more than anything else to love God with your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself? You see, that's what we're preparing for. God didn't put us here just to accumulate a bunch of material possessions for a while that are all going to be gone at some point. He didn't put us here to try to gain status for ourselves as we go through life or to try to achieve a certain kind of success in our professions or in other ways as we go through. Those things are all okay, and they're important. It's important to do some of those things, to have some ambition to provide for yourself and your family and have enough to give to others, but that's not what we're here for. If we're preparing for eternity, then one of the most important things on our list is to learn to love God with all of our heart. I mean passionately. I mean to fall in love with God. I mean to be mesmerized, to want to pour our life into the life of the one who loved us and came to us and gave himself to us. God loved us first. That's why we want to love him. But can you imagine being in eternity and not wanting to do that? This is preparation for eternity. Can you imagine being in eternity and not loving your neighbor? You know, there's a lot of folks that aren't getting this. I haven't gotten it from time to time. But what makes you think you're going to be happy in heaven if you're hating your neighbor here on earth? Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're about right now. You don't wait to heaven until you get to heaven before you love your neighbor, before you love the people that God put in your life, before you love the people of this earth, no exceptions. No exceptions. Jesus told parables and told us over and over again. That's what it is. It's a commandment. And I'm here to empower you to carry that out. But I sometimes just try to leapfrog right to love of neighbor. Like, that's the only way that you love God. And it is the primary way, I think, that we do love God, because, as St. Irenaeus said, the glory of God is a person fully alive. And if a person is fully alive, then that person is loving their neighbor. I mean, you want to look at somebody who is glorifying God, you're going to think about somebody in your mind right now that is loving in a way that you think God has called us to love. I mean, that's how you glorify God, to be fully alive, to be fully human being, and to be doing that in the way that God intended for us to live. That's His will. And when we live that way, we glorify God, to love our neighbor. But you know, I'm thinking this morning about what's happening right here, and why we have gathered here right now, and why worship would be, among the other things, as one of the big five things that we're supposed to be doing with our life, and why. Because it's all about God. It's not about us at all. It's all about God. When you answer that question, what on earth are we here for? You don't come up with those answers. That's just 7 billion people giving their point of view on something, about what we should be doing, what life is about. And there's a lot of people out there telling us what life is all about, but it doesn't matter what they say. All that matters is what God says, and what is God saying to us about why we are here. What on earth are you here for? You know, some time ago I ran across something that has been meaningful for me over the years. It seems that when Jesus came to earth, there were some angels on another mission, and they wanted to hear all about how things went. And so they asked Jesus how it went, and he told them that it went well, especially well at first. Everybody was following him. They were just coming to him in droves to hear his teaching and to hear his preaching, and they were astonished by it, and they were responding well to it, and his healings and his miracles, and there was so much good. But then things kind of took a turn, and the purpose for which I came became very clear, and there were folks that were threatened by me, and so they worked it out so that I could be captured and so that I could be crucified, and that's what happened. And then God raised me from the dead, and I was there for just a little while longer before I came back here. And the angels were saying, "Oh Lord, how in the world did that happen like that? And what's going to happen now? I mean, do they know what you did for them? Do they know how you loved them? Do they know that when you died on that cross, it was because God is saying, because you were saying, 'I love you'? Do they understand that you have given life and all of that?" And Jesus said, "Well, I've left that with my followers. I've told the disciples to go and to tell that, to carry on, to pass on that word. You told your disciples? You told the church to do that?" They said, "Well, what if they fail?" And then Jesus said, "I have no other plan. I have no other plan." How do you feel like that? I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, it's you. Jesus has left such an important thing as this with you. You and me, we're it. Either our life glorifies God, our lives are given to pass on this word that Jesus has given us, to be in service, to... And you know, when I was coming along, I wasn't sure I was getting all of that. As a kid, like most of you, I wasn't sure why I had to get up and go to church every Sunday, but we did. We had to go to church every Sunday. There was no question about it. Dad was a Sunday school teacher. He taught for probably 50-something years. So he shined his shoes on Saturday night. He went over his Sunday school lesson. We got everything in order, and on Sunday morning we went to church. I can remember going to church in a 53 Chevrolet. And you know, some of my friends whose parents didn't go to church went with us to our church. My mom and dad figured out, you know, if they're not taking them, somebody needs to take them, because what happens in church on Sunday morning is important. Everybody needs to be a part of it if they can. When I was a kid, I didn't know much about what was happening in that room, but when I looked up at my mom, and she was in the choir, she and Dad both were later on, but when I was a kid, you know, she was with me because somebody had to take care of me. And I didn't know too much about what was taking place in that worship service, but when I looked up at my mama's face and heard her alto voice, she always sang alto, singing those hymns, I just knew, sensed that something here is really, really important. So moms, don't ever take for granted, don't ever worry about whether your kid is really getting it here. You just make sure what they're getting on your face is that you think this is the most important place of all places that you could be when it comes to Sunday morning at 11 o'clock to be here to worship God. It will leave its impact. My sister was baptized as a baby, but they were moving from Goshen, Alabama, to Center, Alabama, when I was a baby, and I was not baptized as a baby. You know, Jesus said, go into all the world, baptize, baptize, baptize. So we just baptize everybody, and then we teach them to observe what God has commanded them. But when I got to be about 8 years old, I wasn't sure about how God felt about me. I wanted to make sure he felt good about me. And I talked to Dad about it. And one day when Brother Bates was preaching and ending his sermon, he gave the invitation that he usually end. And at 8 years old, I walked down, stood in front of him, and said, I want to be a Christian. He said, okay, we'll baptize you tonight. So I came back. That night, he was preaching a sermon about the rock and the solid foundation. And I'll never forget those words that he said to me as I stood in front of him that day. He said, Gary's a young man who's building his house on the rock. Man, how glad I was that somebody thought that's what I was doing, by what I was doing here. You know, getting baptized, making my profession of faith. I love my youth directors. My parents were our UMY counselors. We went to Sumatonga. Sometimes we'd just set the chairs in a circle, and we'd say, we're going to put a chair here in the middle. That's where Christ is. If anybody wants to come and just sit with Christ, you can share anything that you want to with us. I remember doing that. And then all of my friends gathered around me, put their hands on my shoulders, and prayed for me. I mean, this was high school. And it was worship. Thousands of worship services now in my life. Thousands. Tens of thousands of hymns that I've sung take time to be holy hundreds of times. And I sung it again today. And as I looked at those words, I said, you know, how true that is. All of those prayers, all of those sermons, and I've been working on a bunch of those sermons. I've been delivering a bunch of those sermons. We have Michael Russell over here and Bill Saxon over here who, I wonder how many between us we've delivered. The Word of God's important. It needs to be heard. Something happens when you're together with others and the Word of God is heard. Something happens there. And Michael and I, we were just recently in a funeral home doing some worship there, remembering Earlene Montgomery, one of those that were here, and Sally's here. We were here a couple of weeks ago, and where they had been all of their life, in worship, in church, they came back again. Because when life comes to that point and you're transitioning into eternity, where are you going to be except with God? Where are you going to be except in worship? Because that's where the important things in life are happening. You can make as important as you want everything else that's out there. But you know, when you're honest, what's really, really important. And I just remind you, what you're doing right now is really, really important. In fact, it is the most important thing that you could be doing. Because Jesus has no other plan. You're it. And you are the glory of God. Will you pray with me? Lord, we don't always see the things that we do connected to the things that you do. But we know that what's most important are the things that you're doing. And we know that you're doing it even right now in this space that we've gathered. You've let us gather to worship you and thank you, exalt you, magnify you, adore you. And we do adore you. We are so grateful that we can tell you how we feel and what we hope to do with our life as a result of you giving yours, so that we could come in a place like this to remember your body and your blood that was shed, and to remember the love and the life that comes with your coming. We pray that we as a church will glorify your name in all that we do as we carry out your purposes for our life. In Jesus' name, amen.